awesome was it last week getting to be all the campuses together at one time? Isn't that special? It's so cool that we are one church in three locations, and I'm so thankful for this vision that God's given us and all the awesome ways that Dad reminded us of what God's going to do. You know, I was 2 years old when Dad became the lead pastor at this church, and my whole life I've gotten to see impossible thing after impossible thing happen because God has an awesome work that he wants to do. And I'm excited because guess what? He's not done yet. The best is still ahead of us, and there's so much that I'm looking forward to. And how awesome is our buddy Logan? Excuse me? I don't know where he snuck off to, but one of the greatest gifts of growing up in the church is watching our kids grow up and seeing all this work that God's doing in the heart and the champions that they're becoming. And we have an awesome team, and I'm super thankful to be a part of it. I'm going to say a prayer to get us started. Dear Father, we love you so much. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this beautiful vision you've given us of who you've called us to become. I pray, Father, that you would encourage us to be the best version of the men and women that you've created us to be. I pray, Father, that you would help us and inspire us to make choices every single day to grow into the full potential that you've given us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, I don't know if you were anything like me, but when you were little, did you hear like the same expressions over and over again? Like, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, right? Or the early bird gets the worm. There were like these old adages, like maybe your parents said them or your teacher said them or like the aunt in your family said them. And they were like these little tidbits of life advice, right? Like actions speak louder than words and cleanliness is next to godliness. That one never took in my life. I love God, but cleanliness is not my strong point. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Better late than never. Don't judge a book by its cover. And some of these things we'd hear, they made a ton of sense, right? Like, a picture's worth a thousand words. Like, I can agree with that. Well begun is halfway done, right? Like, getting started is a huge deal. But others, even though they sounded nice, like, maybe they didn't play out so big in real life. Like, one of the ones I still hate to this day, and I mean, everybody used to say it, right? Like, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Like, no, they hurt. And they leave a dent that, like, I still remember. Or how about this one? Like, if you want to do something right, do it yourself, right? Like, no, how about you teach somebody how to do it, and then somebody else knows how, and then you could do it together, and more people know. Or how about this one? The grass is always greener on the other side. We've thought that one before, right? The grass is greenest where you water it. And we live in Cleveland, so we know this. Our grass turns real brown real quick if we don't take care of it, right? One that was said a lot in my house when we were growing up is when the going gets tough. Do you guys remember this one? The tough get going, right? Like, we were gonna tough our way through things. And these adages were meant to, like, encourage and teach valuable lessons and give you, like, this little expression that was short and memorable that you could repeat, a proverb, right? They were these proverbs that told us these good ideas. And throughout history, different cultures have had different sayings and different ideas to help repeat these important ideas. Now, a proverb is just a very simple, like, poetic, terse, like, it gives you a vivid, thought-provoking saying that puts a lot of truth in just a few words. Or if you look it up in the fancy dictionary, it's like a short, pithy saying that talks about a general truth or a piece of advice. Mostly, they're observations about how life works and wisdom for how to do life every single day. Now, our buddy Timothy Keller said this. He said, the point of a proverb is to get rightly related to reality through hard thinking and sustained reflection. He said, wisdom isn't only for deep thinkers. Like, typically when we think about wisdom, we think about, like, the old man with the long beard who's, like, lived a ton of years and had a ton of education, and he's dispersing his little pieces of wisdom. But Timothy Keller's like, no, wisdom is for anybody who's willing to put the time in to think about hard things and reflect about life. Wisdom is what you need to just confront the realities of the life that we have to live every single day. And a long, long time ago, there was a man named King Solomon, and he gathered all this wisdom that he'd learned from God and a lifetime of lived experience and learning and culture, and he put it together in a book called the Proverbs that we still have in the Bible today. And the book itself is this collection of wise sayings and its instruction and wisdom for just how to do life every single day. Ideas like a gentle answer turns away wrath, or the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. And in the Proverbs, this wisdom is connected to being in a relationship with God. The wisdom that we need for doing life well is found in doing life with Him. And we find in this book these nice little nuggets of truth that we can use and apply to our everyday life. If you've never read the Proverbs before, it's a really interesting book. You can jump in. The first section is like advice, like if he was talking to his son and giving advice. And there's really good nuggets that we can use. So over the next couple of weeks, we're actually going to look at some Proverbs together and see how to use them in our everyday life and be the better version of ourselves that God has called us to be. So today we're going to start by looking at Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 6. This is what he says. It says, go to the ant, O sluggard. Like, there's some vivid words for you to swallow right away, right? Like, when's the last time you said sluggard in a sentence? Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Now, it's interesting, because in the book of Proverbs, there's a contrast, and it comes up again and again and again, and it's the contrast between the wise person and the foolish person. And here we see the ant is our illustration of the wise person, and the sluggard is our example of the fool. Now, ants are incredible little things. I can't stand them. I feel like I'm constantly working. Does anybody else feel like you're constantly working to get rid of ants? I got ants in our house one time, and they got in my pantry. I might have overreacted and thrown everything away. And I was like, we figured out where they were coming from, and Paul Brown like sealed it off so they couldn't get in anymore. But I was like on ant watch, and I had my vacuum out, and I'd suck them all up every time I'd see them. And they kept coming back. They're such resilient little things. Can't stand them, but they're kind of amazing when you look into them. You've heard that an ant can lift like incredibly heavy things. They think it can lift somewhere about 20 times its own weight. So putting this in perspective for us, I have a second grade daughter. If she was as strong as an ant, she could go in the parking lot and pick up a car. I'm probably glad she can't. We'll leave that strength to the ants. But it's interesting because the proverb reminds us, like, nobody has to tell the ant what to do. It gets the work done. It knows its job. It gets out there. It works hard. It gathers food. It protects the colony. They work together. And if you've ever seen, like, food that got left out and ants kind of swarm around it, and then by the end of the day, it's gone. And I'm like, it's crazy to me. Like, piece by piece, they tear that thing apart. They carry 20 times their own weight away and get the job done. Now, in contrast to like the hardworking, productive ant, we have the sluggard. And this word sluggard, again, is used multiple times in the Proverbs. And really what it means, it's somebody who has a habit of being lazy. Like, every one of us can admit to being lazy every once in a while, right? Like, we just need a second to not do anything. It's kind of delightful. We call it rest. But there are people who make it a habit of being lazy. It's a choice they make again and again, and they're unreliable, and they've kind of taken this passive approach to life. They've checked out. They've disengaged. They're kind of sleeping their way through all of the big moments and never really doing anything. They've kind of given up responsibility for the action of what's happening in their life, and they're negligent with the things that have been trusted to them. So we have this contrast where, like, the ant takes responsibility not for just its life, but the life of the group that it's part of, the colony that it is. The sluggard just gives up that responsibility. They choose laziness and a little bit more laying around and a little bit more rest and a little bit more time and folding their hands instead of using them to do anything productive. This example shows the foolish person who puts off what needs to be done again and again, and they're constantly making excuses. I know we're all good at making excuses, and you've heard some of these before, right? Like, I don't have to do that right now. There's plenty of time to get that done, or somebody else can take care of it. It's not my responsibility. I don't have the skills. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. Yeah, not right now, maybe another time. And then these become a way of life. The excuse, the excuse, the excuse, and no responsibility until all of a sudden they're surprised when things don't go their way and they're surprised when they don't have what they need and they're ready to lay the blame on whose fault it is without ever really taking responsibility for themselves. And when we see this example, this contrast, the foolish person is making small choices, small moments of surrender, giving up control of their life, small moments of disengaging, and small moments of just giving up and checking out. And where the ant work and it leads to productivity and being prepared for the season, the idleness of the sluggard leaves to poverty and want and lacking and emptiness. And this wisdom that we find in the Proverbs here gives us the idea to think about how do we picture this in our own life? If I was to contrast myself between the ant and the sluggard, where would I find myself in this scale? The wisdom we see in how the ant works productively and achieves their goals, these massive goals they have to move food and think about it, they're fighting giants like us every single day of their life for just sheer survival. Like, I have some big fights I have to fight, but at least I don't have giants trying to kill me. That's a win. But they achieve these goals by taking these tiny steps again and again over time. I love this quote from Isaac Dennison. It's when you have a great and difficult task, something perhaps almost impossible, if you only work a little at a time, every day a little, suddenly the work will finish itself. Many times it feels like we're kind of up against these things that just seem overwhelming, right? Like the job is too big, you're not sure that you can make the changes that are necessary, it's too big to do anything about, or you feel, have you ever felt defeated before you even started? Like, I don't even know where to start, it's so big, like, I don't even know. But the wisdom we find here in this Proverbs is the idea of small steps taken again and again, add up over time to very real change in our life and in success. But the hard part is putting in the work. It's showing up day after day after day and doing it again and not giving up, but sticking with it. No matter what goal you've set for yourself or what goals we have, real change takes time. But we like shortcuts. Like, we like the drive-through where it's in and it's out and it's fast. We like the movies where, like, the struggle's real, but it's like a 3-minute montage, and then all of a sudden they're successful and they're champions. That is not real life, and we know this, right? We've seen it play out. Anybody who is successful had to put the work in to be there. It doesn't happen over 3 minutes. It doesn't happen over 3 days or 3 months. It's the consistency of making the small choices again and again and again. Every healthy person we know had to put the work in to make the healthy choices. I love this, because anytime we see somebody who's, like, lost weight, gotten in shape, we're like, wow, what did you do, right? Like, they're going to tell us some miracle thing that we did, and if we just did the same thing. We knew what they did. They exercised and ate healthy. It's, like, not a magic combination, but it just takes the work, right? Like, I'm still waiting for the one person who's going to tell me the magic sauce, but we know that that's not how it works. It requires effort and consistency again and again and again. And no matter what the goal is, whether it's losing weight or exercising or getting out of debt or changing a bad habit or choosing a new lifestyle or learning a new skill, anytime we start something or try to approach something or change something, it can feel daunting and overwhelming. I don't know if anybody got on the scale after lockdown and saw those numbers and wanted to have some type of pass out, post out of body moment, right? Like, that felt overwhelming. You had to put the clothes on to go back to work and none of the clothes fit. And you're like, well, this is a problem. Can't wear stretch pants all day. That's not going to work. Or exercising or getting out of debt or all of these things sometimes feel impossible. You see the balance on the credit card statement. You think there's no way I could put a dent in that. Or you look at your loans, whether it's student debt or other loans that you have, and it feels like there's no way out. Or some of us have habits that we've been doing for so long, like we're not quite sure how to do life without them. They've become so a part of who we are. or anytime, does anybody like try to learn something new or try something that's out of your comfort zone? It feels awkward. It feels real uncomfortable. You never feel more stupid than when you're trying to learn how to do something you've never done before. Like, you can't make it work the right way. And it's easy to give up when those things happen. It's easy to give up when it feels overwhelming. It's easy to give up when it feels too hard. It's easy to give up and say, well, there's just nothing I can do, and be a passive bystander in our life. But many of us have heard the expression before, right? Like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? Like, you don't eat it in one chomp. You just physically couldn't, but one small bite at a time. The only way we make progress in life is to start somewhere and take one small step after another and keep moving forward. And guess what? The best time to start is now. There's no better time. We can't go back and erase the bad decisions. We can't go back and change what got us to this point, but we can start today, right now, making choices that set us up for a better future. Many of us learned this the hard way in the past year and a half. It's real hard to get prepared when you're in the middle of the crisis, right? Like, all of the work that needed to get done needed to happen before the crisis came. And when this crazy crisis came out of nowhere, and it wasn't just, it was an economic crisis and all of these crises hitting us, it caught us off guard, and jobs went away, and security went away, and income went away, and savings got ate up, and all of a sudden things got short quickly. And as incredible as it feels to be moving forward and making progress and getting on the other side of this thing, here's the truth. We are going to have other moments of crisis in our life. We are going to have other moments of that we just, there's nothing we could have done to expect that thing to happen that's going to happen. And if nothing changes in our life today, we will be as unprepared for the next crisis as we were for this one. And friends, God didn't create us to live lives of passivity. We're not meant to be just bystanders sitting on the bench and watching our life pass us by. He created all of us with strengths and skills and talents and abilities and giftedness. And he gave us this incredible opportunity of life and says, live it to the absolute fullest. Do your best to make a dent in this world for good and grow into your potential. Which means there's no warm-up round, right? Like, there's no practice, like, I'm just going to practice for a few years. Like, no, this is life right now. Right who we are today, right now, exactly where we are, this is our life. And the incredible news is that God's already given us everything we need to be successful and move forward. God's already given us all the grace we need to do the exact life that we are living right now today. But that life doesn't happen passively. Nobody's going to make that life happen for us. For us to live our best prepared lives requires action and plans and working hard. There's no shortcut to the hard work it takes to live our very best lives. Every person you know who's doing well will tell you about the hours and hours and years they put in to being where they are today. But the good news is it starts with one small step at a time. So to give us some real tangible ideas to help with this, I'm going to recommend a book. It's called The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. It's a really interesting read if you're looking for something. It's got a real ton of like tangible ideas and really helpful tools that you can use. And he talks about being like a beach bum and an entrepreneur and then losing everything that he'd created. And he said what happens is many of us bounce between success and failure because we stop doing the things that got us to success. We pass over the line of survival, we get to a healthy place, and we stop doing the things that got us there. So for example, if you've ever set out to lose weight, you do all of the things to lose the weight. And then what happens? You get to the weight loss place where you want to be, and all of the habits that you created, the diets that you followed, the choices you make, you stop doing them. And then you find yourself in this cycle, and you gain all the weight back, and you're like, what happened? I worked so hard. Why did it last? And he said that's the same way with life. We get a little bit above survival, and we start heading up into these awesome places of success, and without even really thinking about it, we stop doing the things that got us there. we stop doing the healthy things that helped us get to the place. And he said, that's the only reason our lives follow a roller coaster, which means the good news is we already know how to be successful. The good news, it's not some like huge, outrageous, completely impossible thing that you have to do. He said, if you can survive, then you can succeed. And guess what? We just proved after this crazy last year and a half, we know how to survive, right? Like, this was like pure survival mode that we went into. But if we can do that, then we know what it takes to succeed. And he said, mostly it's the little things you do every single day that people don't even take notice of. Little things like taking a few dollars out of your paycheck and putting it in savings and not touching it. Guess what? That adds up over time. He said, or doing a few minutes of exercise every single day. It turns out to be healthy, I'm gonna shock you for a second, you can't exercise a bunch in one day and that be good enough for the week. Turns out it's better for you to do a little bit every single day. Who knew, right? I'm trying so hard, but it is not my strength. Whew. All right, but not skipping it, right? I read this awesome idea that instead of saying, like, you ever have, like, a bad day, like, I'll start again tomorrow, right? And we kind of, like, make the day a wash. They're like, what if you stopped making the whole day a wash and you broke your day up into quarters? Like, okay, maybe the morning wasn't great or lunchtime wasn't great or afternoon, but you still have evening. You still have the fourth quarter you could do something with, right? Like, it doesn't have to be a wash. Anyways, he said, what if you read 10 pages of some inspiring, helpful, life-changing book every single day? Do you know if you just made it a goal, which 10 pages is not a lot, right? But if you read about 10 pages of a good quality, helpful, life-changing book, that adds up to about a dozen books over a year. Do you know how much value you could add to your life if you just read a dozen books that helped you think differently, that challenged your behaviors, your habits, that helped you grow in healthy ways? You would add so much value to your life. Or he said it's even little things like telling somebody, taking a moment to tell somebody how much you appreciate them every single day, month after month after month for a year. Go out of your way to say something nice to somebody every single day consistently, and that adds up. And it plays out in reading our Bible every single day. If we read our Bible for 15 minutes a day, prayer time, if we had that set aside time to spend with God, if we do just those small little things every single day, they add up and make a huge difference. And they're simple. They're small daily choices, small daily disciplines that help provide productivity and growth in our life. Now, here's the positive side. We have complete control over the direction that our life takes. Now, I know a lot of things happen that are outside of our control, right? A lot of them dealt with this year, and there were things that we could not have expected if we had tried to, but we still get to choose how we respond to the things that are happening in our life right now. And he said, whatever success you want to create, whatever feats you want to achieve, whatever dreams you want to make real, you can. And you don't have to do impossible, extraordinary things to make that happen. But you have to do something. You have to take a step. Because guess what? Success doesn't come out of nowhere. Nobody's going to wake up tomorrow and be wildly successful and have done nothing to get there. Everybody who's successful has to start somewhere. It comes from a small beginning. And maybe it's tiny and it doesn't even seem obvious to anybody else. But you have to start somewhere. I love this analogy he gives. If you could do something that made you feel one penny's worth better, could you do that every single day? So think about a penny. Very small. Most of us don't even use them or save them anymore, right? Remember we used to have like the giant jars of coins? But it's called 1% because it's 1/100th, 1% of a dollar. So if you look at it as 1% growth, what if you had 1% growth in your life every single day? That feels doable, doesn't it, right? Like, I don't have to tackle and become a mountain climber overnight. I can take small steps to get there, in case you want to be a mountain climber. I don't know. But if you could just be 1% healthier, your habits, your words, your practices, what you studied, how you worked out, what you read, how you rested, each 1% improvement would be a level of achievement that after a year would not just be doubled, it'd be tripled. And if anybody is really smart at money, some people are, right? You know about compound interest. And what happens is when you have something that starts growing, it compounds on itself, and that helps it grow as well. Growth compounds in your life. And if you made an investment to be 1% better every single day, you would see a huge return on that investment in the end of the year. Every single day, every moment, we get to make choices that help determine who we're going to become. And if we want to be a great person and have a great life, it's within our control. Yes, hard things happen, but we are more than victims of circumstance because every one of us has agency over our own life and our choices and how we respond to what we're going through. Greatness isn't just something that people are born with. It's not just a predetermined thing that, like, sorry, the cards didn't fall right for you. They got born to a different family, a different... Instead, if we want to be great, we get to make the choices that help us every single day. There's an incredible book. It's called The Talent Code. He said anybody can be an expert. It just takes 10,000 hours, which I thought was incredible. It's not a small amount of time, but think about it. Like, if you ever go to, like, an orchestra and you see, like, the best violinist in the world and you think, wow, I'd love to play the violin, or you hear a musician who's incredible or a speaker, or you read a book and you think, man, I wish I could do that. The truth is you absolutely can if you're willing to invest 10,000 hours of time in growing in that area. But guess what? 10,000 over a lifetime. So you break that down and say, how many is that a year? How many is that a month? How many is that a day? And those become the small steps you take to achieve what you want to accomplish. It's always a choice. It's always a moment of decision about what we're going to do next. So I have one more tool to help us with this. Olson gives us an honest self-assessment. So I'm going to give you a couple of ideas. If you just want to write these words down somewhere, take some time this week, set it apart, some quiet time where you can just think and reflect. And this isn't for anybody else. Like, you don't have to show these answers to anybody. This isn't a quiz that you've got to bring back and anybody's going to look at or grade. This is just for you to think about your own self, your own life, and see where you are. And in each one of these ideas I give you, think about it. If we're on a curve upwards towards success or downwards towards failure, where are you on the curve? Are you moving up and growing, or are you moving down and away? So here's the first one, your health. Our health is an incredibly important thing, and there's a lot of choices that we can make that aid us in being healthy people. How we eat, our activity, what we do, all aid in our health. So when you think about your life and your health, where are you on the curve? Are you building health into your life every single day? Are you scheduling a life that's doable for you? Is there rest in there and self-care in there and things you need to do to help you grow and be a healthier person? The second one he calls happiness, which I like to label joy. Because if you think about it, we've talked about this before, right? Happiness is that emotion that, like, comes and goes quickly. Very quickly some days more than others. Like, do you ever start out, like, I wake up happy, like, I'm in, I'm ready, and then it's like 5 minutes later, I'm like, nope, changed my mind, not anymore. Okay, but joy is much deeper. Joy can be found even in difficult circumstances. Joy isn't dependent on how I feel. It's dependent on, I trust that God's got this, and we can still find joy even in hard, impossible moments. So are you building joy into your life? Are you taking moments to be grateful for things, right? We've talked about practicing gratitude and writing down what you have to be grateful for. Are you the kind of person, like, you find yourself looking at things in a positive way or a negative way? Do you ever just be grouchy and you realize, like, there's absolutely nothing to be grouchy about? Like, a lot of times there is. It's fair. I get it. But sometimes, like, I catch myself being grouchy. I'm like, this isn't an anybody else problem. This is a total, like, me problem. Like, this is my bad attitude. All right, and it's how we look at things. Are we looking at things in a positive way or a negative way? Do you practice, he said, savoring the moment? And I know how hard this is, because guess what? The days are long sometimes, but those years fly by quickly. And the moments can be fleeting. And rather than jumping and going and moving and passing along, how often do we just stop and reflect and savor the specialness of this moment, this time, this space that we have right here? Because it's real easy to miss. Do we engage in meaningful activities? Are we building joy and choosing joy into our lives? The third idea is your spiritual life. How healthy am I spiritually? Where am I at in my relationship with God? Do I know more about Christ today than I did last year? Am I practicing anything that helps me think about him and spend time with him? And what am I doing to help grow in my faith? What hard questions am I asking? You know, a real good gauge for us is the more that we're spending time with God, the more hard questions we have. Like, the more we're like, I don't know what that means. Right? Like, I know I'm reading the Bible when I find things I don't understand or seem not quite sure how to factor that in. What am I studying? Who am I talking to? Who am I learning from? Who am I asking these hard questions with? In my walk of faith and my life with Christ, am I growing and spending time, or do I find myself on the curve drifting away further and further? The next one is personal development. It does not matter how old we are. It does not matter our background, our education, what degrees we have. It matters, am I doing the things I need to grow and learn? Because there's always something new to learn. We never arrive at the place where we just know all of the things. It's just impossible. There's too many things to be known. And it's our responsibility to invest in our own personal development. There's so many things that we can learn about ourselves and how we think and how we act and the world that we live in and the tension points we've been feeling this year. There's new things to learn about skills or sharpening old things that we used to learn to know, or how do I just become a more capable person, right? Like, part of personal development is, how do I be better in my family? A better mom, a better spouse, a better friend, a better sibling? How do I become a better person in my community, at work? How am I developing? The next idea he gives us is finances. Are we saving at all? Are we living within our means, or are we racking up more debt than savings? This is a really honest self-assessment, because if we want to be better prepared for life, if we really want to live lifestyles of generosity, again, it doesn't just happen overnight. Like, we don't just show up and all of a sudden our bank account is like flush with money and debt gets paid off, right? It takes serious work and healthy choices again and again and again. So are we putting money away? Are we investing? Are we making healthy choices to live within a budget, within our means? Or are we racking up debt that we're not able to pay off? The next one he says is career. Are you growing in your professional life? No matter what your job is in the world or at home, are you moving along the path to get better at it, to grow in it, and to be better at the job that you work at doing? And then here's the last one he says, your positive impact on the world. This is a big one to think through. And again, this is why it's self-assessment. You don't have to tell this to anybody. But are you making an impact for good in the world? When people think back on your life and they think about being with you, are you the kind of person that makes a room better? Or do you take all the oxygen out of the room when you walk in? Are you the person that's adding value to the people around you? Or do you walk away and they go, oh, right? How are you making an impact for good? What are you doing to make the world different? What are you doing to invest in good? What are you getting involved in that are right, healthy things that make the world a better place to be? What are you going to leave behind as your legacy? When people think back and remember your life and how you impacted them and how you were with them, what are they going to remember? Because here's the truth, friends. Every single day, we're giving our life to something. Whether we actively choose what we give it to or we just passively let it happen to us, we make choices on what we give our life to every single day. And it matters that we think about what we're giving our life away to, because we only get this one precious life. We have to decide, what are the hills we're willing to die on? We're going to put our stake in the ground and say, if I have to die here, I will, because it matters so much and it has to happen. What commitments are we making saying every single day I'm going to do this and be this kind of person, and these are the choices I'm going to make to get us there? Every day we get to cultivate what disciplines, what choices we want to make that grow our soul and be the very best version that God has created us to be. And here's the great news. We don't do it alone. We have an incredible partner in Jesus Christ, and he's here to encourage us and strengthen us and help us and remind us that we do not do this alone. Every obstacle we face, every time we feel like quitting and giving up, and every time we feel away, like turning away and doing it differently, every challenge, every decision, Christ is with us, and if we allow him, he will direct us in the way that we should go. And he gave us each other. He gave us the church that we could walk in life together and fill in the gaps and help and encourage and strengthen one another as we go along. There's no better time than to start right now growing into the awesome person that God's created you to be. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would encourage us that we can start no matter where we are. I pray, Father, that you would help us to not be overwhelmed by the things that we are facing, that we would not feel daunted by the task, but we would feel excited to take one small step towards a healthier life with you today. I pray, Father, that this wisdom would resonate in us. I pray that the grace of Christ would live in our hearts and encourage and strengthen us to be the men and women you've created us to be. Help us to be champions for good in our homes, in our work, in our community, in this church, and all that we do.